we present Derek Jacobi as the King and Carolyn Backhouse as Shahrazad in Tales from the Arabian Nights. Episode 3, The Three Suitors.
Days, daughter, with three separate knights to accompany them. Had you thought? I've known the king. Well, I've known him all the days I've been his vizier, of course.
Father, but... it is as I say. He is but a man like any other. But the man in need.
And what of your needs, child? What of that, pray? Everyone needs a head upon his shoulders. Yet yours is most seriously at risk each circle of the sun.
Father!
If you could find a day that did not have a dawn attached, I'd gladly say, tell your tales, good daughter, carry on. For one thing, both food and drink are quite beyond compare.
Father, but... I am safe. Now, believe that.
And what do they say of me, my people?
Of my taking a new wife each day.
My king, it is said that during the night together you set fire to their lives. And with the coming of the dawn, they are allowed to burn no more.
Am I then a cruel man? A tyrant? For doing such? Why not relate to me a tale of amusement? Or perhaps you know none.
Such, sir.
Yet in the telling, they are all made sober.
I shall smile throughout. A tale of old Cairo, perhaps.
A place well known to me.
So then, there was a time in that city when a young widow, Jamila by name, was taken in marriage by a rich and much older merchant. A man who favoured more the dead than the living, since in a room alone each night he would employ the ancient art of necromancy in bringing such back to life. He was kind enough to his wife, generous with fine cloth and jewels, but of his duties in the marriage bed there was much to be desired, and in the course of time she not unnaturally sought younger and more attractive company, to ease an ache not easily displaced by other needs.
You are flowers to the desert. You are rain as well. In me, you see a worthy lover, as you no doubt can tell.
His real capacity, she had soon discovered, lay not in the use of words. A discovery for which she had grown ever more grateful at each subsequent meeting.
Oh, you are like an ocean over which I sail. A vessel with a hardened nail which holds our keels together with peals of bells?
Oh, there is such in those words, good Hassan, truly.
Bells that ring across the...
Time rushes ahead. My husband will return. Do not tease me any longer, dear one. Come, show me your fervor. On me, sir. On me. Do not hover.
And all that stands above...
By the devil's teeth! Now!
Regrettably, much of the time stolen by Jamila for the use of Hassan's company... became for her a matter of navigating between the proper construction of the rhyming couplet and rather less formal exertions, her intent being that a mutual breathlessness should finally gain the day.
Oh, Hassan. But why so sad, sweet thing? We have made such delight.
I cannot think of any further rhyme with which to please you.
Oh. It is a disappointment for which I will need much consoling.
A rhyme with above.
Love.
I've used love previously.
And I have been used by love previously. But I do not shrink from repetition. I
I'm of the opinion, sweet Hassan, that love is the one thing that can be used many times over.
Bells was not so difficult.
Oh.
All that stands above... the feathers of a dove?
Now, an honest man will sometimes glimpse his own absurdity, but never to the degree of a woman's eye.
All that stands above... A hand inside a glove.
And where a woman might well forgive, Hassan made the grave mistake of assuming the feigned tolerance of a lover's couch would extend to the marketplace of the local town. Had not Jamila praised his verse?
My love is drowned in your eyes. And in my ear, I hear your sighs. And goodbyes. Can this be wise?
I am without guilt! To the utter hilt.
And meanwhile, at Jamila's house...
Good wife, I became aware last evening of the imminent success of my incantations. I have little doubt you will be glad to hear an account.
In frankness... A wife's mood at breakfast does not easily drift towards her husband's efforts to raise the debt.
Hmm?
Oh, it is a strange pursuit, I've often thought. Why have you not taken an interest in the racing of camels?
But
it is far from unpopular with men of your years.
The conjuration of spirit is a noble art. Indeed, your own father was well known for his efforts in that direction.
Again, with no success?
It was said... He once changed himself into a stallion for the course of an entire night.
My mother was not convinced.
Listen, then, and I will tell you what took place above your sleeping head. As soon as incense was lit and incantation read, I immediately heard about me a strange... it would be difficult to describe to an ear not attuned to matters celestial. A strange... Moaning.
Moaning?
Yet not a moaning. More musical, as if the very air had turned to speak in verse.
Verse?
As from the very bowels of the earth. Below, in any event.
And did this moaning seem, well, of human origin, would you say?
Human? This was from a conjured spirit.
Oh, yes, but if from below, surely I too would have heard it, since my sleeping chamber is below.
As deep as it could go.
What?
From beneath the very earth is my surmise. One needs the ear to hear such things, you see.
In spite of such a near discovery, Jamila grew restless. Relieved though she was at being spared Hassan's endlessly rhymed attentions, there were other considerations for which he was most sorely missed. She decided to approach the prison in which Hassan languished to plead mercy on his behalf.
Good lady, if the canon of the law permitted, I would be the first to open the door of his cell. In my years as jailer, I've seen such sights as a lady of your substance, your shape, would think belonged to another world. So frightful were they. But nothing compares to being exposed to the daily trial of unremitting verse.
It is difficult to convince him of the effect it has. He means no real harm.
I have no reason to doubt someone so suitably bodied as yourself.
I would prefer you did not put your hand there, sir.
And not there in particular, you mean?
Not there generally. Might I suggest your hands were better employed in turning the key of my love, my friend's cell door?
Ah, a favour, then. That is what you ask?
A righting of a wrong.
Is it not wrong, then, that a man of my obvious worth should have to sleep always on a lonely couch? What say you to that, then? Is that a wrong? I think it is. There's room for another.
I say to you, I must decline.
You do not have to say it.
I wish to say it.
It needn't take the whole afternoon, you understand. I am swift to the purpose.
Sir, I have said I decline.
Oh,
Good jailer. May I see him?
You may not.
All right, then. What is it you want?
I am a delicate man. You will not find me coarse with language.
What is the price?
One full hour's bumping, with the option for more if it's found there's breath still in me.
Oh!
Ow! There's no way to treat a public official. Ow!
Ow! It is strange that when a woman in distress asks a man for his help, rarely will it occur to him that her final gratitude is of equal worth when offered upright.
That was a clever ruse to get your hands about me.
Wife, I have conjured, I have exhorted, I have made entreaty to demons even. Yet all at once I am met with silence only. Each night passes, and not a moan, not a whispered note of verse ethereal. What say you to this calamity?
You will never know how deep is my regret, good husband.
Well, good lady, you did right to come to me first, of course. Magistrate's a busy man, since few are exempt from lawlessness, whether they practice it or no.
You are astride one of my legs, sir.
Only one? I'd seriously thought to embrace the pair.
I have a friend, a family friend, through misfortune. He finds himself in prison for something which a more sensitive official might easily have seen as little more than a failed sense of literature. Am I being clear, sir?
Your voice brings more confusion than clarity, my sweet woman. Do you not see the effect it creates?
My friend has brought near perfection to the art of tedium. A disability, I will admit, but surely not a crime.
I have a reputation for total discretion during such interludes. My adoration for you, sweet woman. Do you not see the radiance in my face?
I see a signature.
A signature? A signature?
On a document that would release my friend from his prison cell.
Regrettably, the matter's no longer in my hands. Unless...
That might prove difficult.
Oh, a husband?
Not very often.
Oh, the sweetest of phrases.
And the signature?
On a document I shall bring to our very first meeting.
There is one thing only left to say, then. You must arrive, not a moment earlier or later than the time I shall now give you.
I understand. I understand that, my lovely, bumpy lady. I shall be there only at the hour you command. Only do command. Oh, by all that's holy adored and soon to be upright, do so command.
But Jamila's next command would effect a scheme that would eventually undo them all.
A largish cabinet, you say, of several compartments?
Two compartments, good carpenter. Uh-huh. That is my requirement.
Each to be locked without recourse to the other?
Exactly so.
And you yourself are to fit in such a compartment, you say?
Perhaps for purposes of...
My instructions are quite clear, surely. Without the need to investigate their purpose?
Yeah, what I need to know is whether these compartments are to be designed for, movement. Is that what you intend?
Some movement, certainly.
Enough movement.
There must always be enough, sir.
We agree more by the minute. Yet such a wardrobe with two compartments designed for enough movement will be of some considerable expense, and if suitably jointed, more still.
I have but little money, being a poor woman, much neglected by her husband.
Then tell me, lady, need any of these compartments be designed around the general size and shape of the husband?
Oh, nowhere near his shape, sir.
Yet, by lack of adjoinment between the two compartments, I assume you mean a certain capacity to get at. Otherwise...
I would be more than willing to leave absolutely everything in your hands, good carpenter. A further thought. Yeah. I think now three such compartments would suit better.
I say only, good husband, that if the conjured spirits will not come to you as before, it may well be that you seek them in a place unsuited.
Oh, so unsuited. They moaned most clearly on previous occasions, and never did I leave the room.
I do remember my father. He, recall, who once made of himself a stallion for the night, say that it was sometimes necessary in the conjuration of spirits to change locality for better effect.
He said that? Your father?
Many times. Change place and time. Tomorrow, I suggest. Between the hours of noon and evening prayers.
So soon? Mm-hmm. And the place? Where shall be the place?
Anywhere that takes half a day to reach and the same to return.
That is far indeed. All praise to fate for granting such a humble man an oracle-made wife.
Now, to make a single afternoon appointment with a man promises real intrigue. To make three in the same afternoon requires sound shelter from catastrophe, even with a husband chasing spirits in the desert. At the appointed time, the first knock came at Jamila's door.
Good jailer, you arrive exactly at the hour arranged.
As you say. Now, where do we go?
Where do you wish to go, sir?
I would rather demonstrate than resort to description. Time wears on.
You have but just arrived.
I have three to chop before preparing the evening meals for those still left. Had you not heard? It's the day for heads.
Not my...
No, his top remains. Though would be better off as any that have heard what comes out of it could testify. Now, where do we go? I've been ready since putting foot to floor this morning. That's a knocking, unless I'm mistaken.
My husband.
Your husband? Your husband?
I had thought he was away. He must suspect me.
He must allow a man more time if he wants something to suspect.
Hurry, sir. Hide in this cabin. Yeah. Quick. No one will find you in here.
As I said, there's heads to chop, and I've got to prepare the evening meals for those still left.
Noble carpenter, how punctual are your habits.
I have habits that are far less prone to time, as you shall soon discover. Why,
stop. What? A moment, sir. There are footsteps on the stairs. Do you not hear?
My true prowess never did lie in my ears, lady.
You came alone?
Despite holy word, not everything can be shared.
Now, listen again. Hmm? I am not wrong. My husband, what? He returns unexpectedly. What can we do?
I could say I was a carpenter.
You are a carpenter.
More easily believed, then.
I have a better plan. You will hide in this cabinet made by your own skill. See? In this empty compartment. None shall know but you and I. And when he departs...
Yes, well, this is not exactly...
Is that who I suspect?
I come to pluck the feathers of your heart, sweet person.
The admirable magistrate, with a smile that would open the bud of a flower.
I'm smiling all over. Very soon you shall see for yourself.
You have the document.
Signed and sealed, as is my desire.
And this will release my friend from his prison cell.
At a moment's notice. My side of the bargain's well honoured, is it not? And so...
There will be some delay, sir. Huh? Only a moment. My husband is due to return.
What?
But for a short time only. He must collect some documents of his own, which he will need for his journey. I beg your tolerance for the brief time this will take. Now, does such vision of a man that stands before me forgive this small interruption?
Yet how shall I explain my presence in your house?
He will not know you're here at all. You shall hide. Oh, is that not exciting? And when he is gone, I shall come and hide with you.
We shall hide in each other.
My very thought. In the cabinet, sir.
Cabinet?
Should be said. Never have so many men given me so much enjoyment without any reference to their own. Signed and sealed, my sweet Hassan. This night I shall ride your too long stable stallion. Husband!
I did exactly as you said, good wife. Found a place deserted by all others, and there did make my conjurations. Yet still no moaning did appear, and verse was altogether absent. I then returned as fast as I could, knowing it were better to seek your counsel for the wisest course to follow.
Ah, well, the matter does resolve itself in much surprise, I have to tell you. Look around you, husband. Tell me what you see.
A wife, most dear to me, and a room in which she stands.
Against the wall, sir.
Oh, it is a... What is it, would you say?
It is a cabinet.
A cabinet, rightly said.
Which did appear at a... Which hour did you make such conjurations?
There was a camel that broke wind not far from where I made the incantation. It was about that time.
The very time it first appeared. I had left the room but for a moment, and then returned to find this cabinet.
By all that's holy, the conjuration has come to... But it was not a cabinet for which I asked.
You asked for spirits, did you not? Voices of the dead.
Wife, you read my mind.
And in that cabinet are just such things. As you appeared, I was about to leave the house from very fear of the noises they made. I see now why you failed at first in your attempts. You called them without names, mere denizens of the air, and so made them uncertain as to which would make appearance.
Impressive wife, most noble partner. You alone have solved each and every puzzle.
But now I must leave the matter solely in your hands, good husband. I do not possess your strength of mind, your capacity for, well, conjuration. You alone know how to deal with matters beyond the common man.
As you say, take yourself away, and on your return you will find such spirits tamed and pliant to my will.
Take care, husband. These are spirits strange indeed.
You speak to a man well versed in such obscurity. Leave now, for arcane matters need to be done.
May all that's holy keep you, then.
You are in there. Conjured demons. That I know. Silence shall not win you freedom. Psst. Answer if you will. Nasty crawling things, or conjuration shall begin again.
I'm a man willing to be reasonable in all matters.
And I'm another one willing to be what he said.
Aha! How clever was my wife to see your devious ways. Do you suppose your real nature goes unnoticed by someone so steeped in conjuration? You're not men at all, that is plain to me.
Well, let us out, and you shall see for yourself. I have a boil.
Ah, you have a... What?
I have a boil.
What have boils to do with this?
Well, it's wrong, then. It's quite impossible to conjure boils.
Is it?
The most elementary texts say as much.
And I can easily produce such things. I'm well known for lumps in strange places.
I had not considered boils.
If you'd release us, sir, I can elaborate further.
If this is some trick, you will feel the wrath of my conjurations.
Be assured I speak only what is true.
Oh, very well, but proceed carefully. It is true, you don't look very conjured.
I feel as much.
Then if you're not loathsome spirits, who are you?
The magistrate.
I've never seen this man before, though he resembles someone I thought I knew.
I don't know him either, though there was a moment I fancied I might.
I do not care that you do not know each other, but only that you name yourselves.
A camel trainer. A camel cleaner. Someone has to do it.
Help! Oh, what was that?
Help! Have pity on a man locked in a cabinet of his own making!
Stand aside, if you will. This is a matter for an appointed jailer.
If there were one present, that is.
As you say, good majesty. Should we have had one of those too, which would be helpful?
It sounds a most wicked demon, does it not?
Oh, thank you, good sir, thank you.
Do you possess any boils, perhaps?
What did he say?
The question is straight.
Merely occasional appearances of such might count in your favour.
I have never had a boil.
Ha-ha!
Is this the house of the mad?
He wriggles like a demon.
That's fine.
Well, no.
Back in the cabinet.
That man is a magistrate and the other a jailer. Do you hear me?
Ha-ha! But both have boils. What think you of that?
What boils?
There shall be no escape for you, deepest murk. Locked in this cabinet you shall stay, obeying my will solely from this day on, and the world a fairer place as a result.
Well, you've done us all a great service, sir. All due honour to you.
Without your help, that fiend would have kept us both under lock and key.
The notables of the town shall hear of your good work. On that you may rely.
It is most kind of you both, but I shall make my own light plain. This very month I sit upon the council, which will newly elect all dignitaries, and shall not be hesitant in advising them of what has taken place this day.
Council? You sit upon the council?
Indeed, this is my first appointment to such. All candidates must now first pass before my eye, if wishing to remain in office.
Magistrates, as it were?
Magistrates, watchmen, wardens.
And jailers?
All demons lie, you see. Jailer, magistrate. As if such as you could be the kind I might elect. Why do you look so, good sirs? Are you both not pleased? You shall be famous. Before this day is out, the entire town shall know the oddities that took place within the cabinet of Paris, the magician. By the way, what do you charge for cleaning camels?
And should this not count for all? No brick would fit a wall.
Hassan, Hassan, I have nearly expired for want of your words.
You should tell me only stories that are governed by laughter. Where can better advice be found than that?
For advice, sir, you would better turn to stories of love.
What is love, Shahrazad? What is it? Can you tell?
It is, perhaps, the only way we have of not pretending.
And what is pretending?
Everything we are not, my king.
The Three Suitors was the third in the series of Tales from the Arabian Nights, dramatised from traditional sources by Colin Hayden Evans. Shahrazad was Carolyn Backhouse, her father Simon Carter, and the King Derek Jacobi. Jamila was Rachel Atkins, her husband Geoffrey Banks, and her son William Chubb. The magistrate was Philip Anthony, the carpenter John Baddeley, and the jailer Michael Mears. The music was composed by Sue Harris and played by Sue Harris and Stephen Hannigan. The series was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.